Good evening, and Merry Christmas. We are so excited that you get to join us tonight, and it's kind of an evening where we can refocus in with the crazy busyness of this time of year. I don't know about you, but life's a little nuts, right? Especially this time of year. It gets kind of insane. We're running from parties and kids' concerts and shopping and shopping again, and then being mad at Walmart, and all the things that we do. And it's so easy, I think, in the midst of that, to lose sight of why we do what we do. It's because a king was born. It's because a savior came to save his people from their sins. And so tonight, we're going to just try and recapture our focus. We're going to be singing some songs together. We're going to spend a little bit of time in the Word, and then as we close, we're going to take our candles and we're going to move to the outside of the sanctuary, and we're going to light them up, and hopefully no children will catch on fire. All right, I had a child almost catch me on fire a few years ago, so I can say that. So, but again, I'm so thankful that you're here with us. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get right into some music. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can come together and celebrate the birth of our King Jesus. Lord, I pray as we meet here tonight that you would just push aside the distractions that we carry with us and even the weariness that we carry into Christmas. And Lord, help us to recapture the joy and the excitement that we once had. Lord, remind us, Lord, that this is good news of great joy for all people. And Lord, may your name be glorified in all that we do tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we begin this time in the Word, a couple quick things. Just make sure everybody got the stuff here. There's candles on this table here in the front, also in the back. If somehow you missed one on your way in, you can grab those when once we're spreading out if you'd like one. There's a bag on the floor here that's got some little bags for the kids. I believe there's some coloring stuff and crayons, and rumor has it there's a candy cane in there too. So if you want to grab one of those, feel free. And I don't know if there's an age limit to that. So I think I saw John Swick coloring earlier. I don't know. But as we start, I'm going to ask that you just focus in again on why we celebrate Christmas. I'm going to read a chunk of scripture that many of you have heard. It's a chunk of scripture that actually my dad read when we were growing up at Christmas time. He read it again yesterday when we were all at the house. And it's Luke chapter 2. And maybe just try and hear it with a fresh set of ears. I would encourage you with that, because for many of us that have heard it over and over and over and over again, we've kind of lost our wonder. And my hope is that together we would reclaim that. So I'm going to read this. Maybe if you want to just, you can close your eyes. Just don't keep them closed the whole service, please. But you can, I'll never know. It's dark. It's probably dangerous. But if you want to close your eyes and just focus in and think about these words as I read them, feel free. But Luke chapter 2, we're starting in verse 1. We're going to read actually through verse 20, and then we'll have a word of prayer. But it says this. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, where he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who he was engaged to, and was extremely pregnant. I changed the wording a little there. It just says with child. I don't know if that she was really with child. Verse 6. While they were there, Joseph and Mary both said, "Oh no," and realized that her days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there's literally nowhere else to put him. I wonder if the first parental moment there felt like a failure a little bit. Could you imagine? You know, we're, you know, washing our hands 19 times before we even look at a child in the hospital, and they're laying one in a food trough. And it was the Son of God. Verse 8, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. Maybe they're playing cards. I don't know what they did, right, to pass the time. But it says, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before him, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." And the shepherds probably said, "Are you kidding me?" Or at least thought it, right? What is going on here? It says, "Do not be afraid," and here's why. "For behold," the angel says, "I bring you good news." It's still good news. "Of great joy," still reason for joy, "which will be for all the people," and it's still for all the people. "For today in the city of David, there has been born," it doesn't say born a Savior. It says born for you a Savior. "There's been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, as if they weren't freaked out enough, there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And I believe they said it loudly, they said it with authority, and they probably said it over and over and over again to get their point through. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. When the angel had gone away, or angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. He chose us. Verse 16, so they came in a hurry and probably weren't even thinking about what was going on with the sheep, hoping they didn't all run away. All right, they came in a hurry and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. Mary and Joseph, you're not going to believe, here's what happened, right? And then everyone else, there's other people around that they're also telling. It says why, it says, and all who heard it, there's a bunch of people that hear this, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending a Savior for all the people. We thank you that while the declaration has been made that it's for all the people, the shepherds also were told, though, it was very personal because he was born for them. And we thank you for that, Lord. Again, help us to focus in on that reality, Lord, that we celebrate Christmas because of the birth of a Savior. And Lord, again, just meet with us here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you didn't know, it's Christmas Eve. I hope you got that right. But I was thinking about Christmas, and it's funny, I shared this with my wife today, too. I said, let me read through my stuff for tonight and tell me if it's okay. And don't worry, she corrected everything, cut out a lot. So you're good. but I was thinking about Christmas and all the stuff that comes with it, right? The fresh smell of pine. The sound of fresh snow crunching under your feet. I said that. I read this to my wife this morning, and she said, there's no snow. Ha-ha! The Lord heard it, right? And he said, here you go. But those are the things we think of. When we think of Christmas, we think of the fresh smell of pine. We think of the sound of fresh snow crunching under our feet, the cool winter air lightly stinging our face, the excitement of tomorrow's festivities and the longing for that maybe long-awaited gift, the smile on the faces of those you love when they open maybe even some sort of gift that you made for them or you gave them. Maybe you think of the squeals of glee of the children as they come down and they walk around the corner and they see the tree in the presents for the first time. The sound of Christmas music playing, I'm sure it'll be going all day long tomorrow at my house. We see the glimmer of Christmas lights. And we could go on and on and on and on, right? Because in that moment, especially as a child, we have this sense of wonder, right? Because everything is perfect. Right, everything is perfect in that moment, right? The gifts have been bought, the presents have been wrapped, and they're now under the tree. The Christmas plans have been made, the special holiday food has been purchased, the new Christmas pajamas fit perfectly. We'll see pictures of some of you on Facebook tomorrow in them. I don't know why we do that to ourselves, but we do. But this, it's going to be a day to remember, right? This is Christmas, and I remember, especially as a kid, getting so hyped up over Christmas Day and so excited over Christmas Day, and none of the kids here are that way, right? Any of you kids pumped? You excited? I can't see your hands. It's dark. Right? I have spotlights in my face, but adults too. It's exciting. It's fun. Right? It's a good time. And one of the things also, right, the kids, they're super pumped, but for a lot of the adults, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day often bring to the surface a number of memories and a number of emotions that you don't really experience any other time of year. You know, I was thinking about just, you know, my grandparents' house, you know, three houses ago when they were still alive. And some of the memories that we had there. I can remember specific things we ate on different Christmas days, right? I remember that. I remember one year there was lobster, and I was a little freaked out by that, actually. But I remember that. And I remember Christmas morning, you know, at times, and patiently waiting at the top of the stairs before we were allowed to go downstairs and celebrate Christmas together. I remember one Christmas while I was a teenager, or almost a teenager anyways, and I was super mad because my older brother, who was here tonight, slept in on Christmas. My parents wouldn't let me wake him up. Come on, man. So now I pray my kids will sleep in. But right, I remember getting up and reading the note from Santa and seeing the cookie crumbs and the empty glass of milk that would have been left out, right? I remember Dad reading the Christmas story on Christmas morning and smelling the smell of the cinnamon buns that my mother would bake on Christmas morning. And there's so much with that, right? But when we think about Christmas, when we remember Christmas, it's much different. It's much different than how Mary and Joseph remembered their first Christmas. Right? Here's this poor lady. Extremely pregnant young woman who really does not want to go on this trip and certainly does not want to risk having a child away from her family and friends. And it happens. But she knows, because she's had visits from heavenly guests, she knows that when this baby's born, that first Christmas, that it's the day when heaven is rolling out a plan. A plan for all the world that will leave the world never the same. And that's what Christmas is really all about. It's about the birth of a child who radically transformed the shape of history in mankind. And I don't know about you, but he radically transformed my life. You know, we love the Christmas season, and we should. But we aren't simply celebrating family, fun, Santa, good food, gifts. That's not it, right? We come together to celebrate the true reason of Christmas. Luke chapter 2, verse 11, we find this statement. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. A Savior has been born for you, who is Christ the Lord. We read this, and in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, we see this angel talking to Joseph, and he makes this statement. He's talking about Jesus. He said, this child that your wife will have, and well, future wife at that point will have, will save his people from their sins. That's what we celebrate. Right, we celebrate the reality of Luke chapter 2, verse 10, which says that the angel, as the angel proclaims, he says, look, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. We celebrate the good news, the reality of who Jesus is. We celebrate the true reason for glorifying and praising God, that we see the shepherds glorifying and praising God in verse 20 of Luke chapter 2 as well. It says the shepherds went back doing what? After an encounter with Jesus, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen just as had been told them. And I think, especially on Christmas, we should pull back sometimes, I believe, and listen to the voice of our God even better. I was reminded of this earlier today. I was just sitting in my office. Well, it wasn't way, way earlier. It was probably 5:30-ish. Had my Bible open and some other things. Had some notes on my desk. And I was reminded of a conversation that Jesus had with the disciples back in Matthew chapter 16. And they're talking about who people thought Jesus was. Well, who do people say I am, Jesus says. But then he looked Peter in the face, and he says, well, who do you say I am? And I think, especially on times like this, the Christmas season, I believe that Christ is looking at us, and he's saying, you need to recapture what Christmas is all about, and you need to remind yourself of who I am. Peter's response was this in Matthew 16, 15. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so, again, let's be reminded of that. And I want to focus on one little word, and I'm not going to be real long tonight. I know everybody's been really busy, and some of you have plans going on even tonight. And some of you are super excited about holding a candle. Because that's all I thought about during the service when I was a kid growing up, right? I know. It's exciting. So, but I want to just focus on one word. It's yes. It's the word yes. Because as we follow the narrative of the Christmas story, and we look at various characters within it, which we've done the last 4 weeks on Sunday morning, we find that the answer, yes, was at the center of each of these narratives. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 24, we find an angel shows up to visit Joseph. First off, Joseph's freaked out because there's an angel in his house. Then he's freaked out because his fiancée's pregnant, and it's not his. He knows that. He's freaked out because it's the first century, and that could be very bad, right? There could be a death penalty attached. There could be disownment. There could be all sorts of messed up stuff. And he essentially says, "You know what? I'm just gonna kind of back out of this quietly, and I don't want to cause her any shame, but I just can't be involved in this." And the angel says, "Hold on, let's focus in on what actually is happening here. That child is the Son of God," which I'm sure just blew his brain, right? "And you get to be at the center of God's plan to redeem humanity." And he says, "What are you going to do?" He says, "Look, here's part of what's going to happen. This child will be called Emmanuel because he will save his people from their sins." And essentially what Joseph was forced to do, not forced to do, but what Joseph chose to do after meeting with the Lord, so to speak, is he said yes. Yes to a plan he didn't really understand. Yes to a plan that freaked him out. Yes to a plan that turned all of his plans on their head. And he said, "Yes, I will take Mary to be my wife. Yes, I will be obedient to the Lord." And we see that verse 24 of Matthew chapter 1, Joseph woke up from a sleep. It says he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. So we find a yes. We look at Mary, this young girl who some would say was even a younger teenager. I mean, it's a very long time ago. Times were different. But she was young. She didn't understand, I'm sure, a lot of things yet. She hadn't lived a lot of life. And she has an angel show up and tell her, "Hey, Mary, you have God's favor on you. There's something about you, Mary, that God decided he desires to use you." And she's like, "Okay, I don't understand." And it says, "Hey, you're gonna have a baby." She goes, "That's not possible. There's things required to have babies. Haven't done those things." That's the G version of it, okay? And they have this dialogue back and forth, and she's struggling again to understand. "Lord, I don't get it. I don't really understand it." But she comes to a spot where she says this: "Yes, I will do whatever is required of me." Luke chapter 1, verse 38, Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." Then we find the shepherds. And in Luke chapter 2, we find the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, and they have this amazing encounter on this hillside. They're hanging out with sheep. It stinks. They're tired. They're cold. They're complaining about sheep and their boss, possibly. I don't know. But they're there, and an angel shows up. They freak out immediately because that's what you do when heavenly beings show up when you're out side in the countryside on a hill. And they are given the news of the birth of a Savior. And they are told that there's going to be a sign. And they're essentially told, "Hey, you could go see that baby." And they say, and essentially, again, what do we find here? Verse 15, they say, "Yes, we need to go see the Savior." They said, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They weren't just content with the knowledge of hearing about him. They wanted to experience the reality of who he was. We see it in the life of The wise men, we talked about them yesterday. And we find that they are in a unique place where they have traveled many, 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 many miles for a very long time. And King Herod has approached them when they show up to Jerusalem because he heard through the grapevine that when the wise men showed up, people are like, wow, you look important. What are you doing here? And they said, we are here to see the new king that has just been born. Well, here Herod hears this. He's a little freaked out because he's the king. And he doesn't want to be usurped. He doesn't want to be kicked off the throne. And he says, hey, well, let's meet together and talk. And he has a little conversation with them. He says, all right, here's the deal. Go find the baby. Once you find the baby, come back to me. Tell me where the baby is. That way I can go worship the baby with you. And I, too, will bring gold, Frankenstein, and myrrh. I said Frankenstein. I know that. I said I want to see if anyone was awake because I can't see you. So, and they were, again, they had this situation where God says, you know what, here's what you need to do. Don't go back to Herod because he's a maniac. He kills his own family members when they disagree with him. History books have that in there outside of the pages of Scripture. I mean, the guy was crazy. Even within Scripture, we find him killing children to protect himself. It's a messed up dude, right? But they have this encounter in a dream where God says, look, don't go back. Don't go see King Herod. You need to go a different way around because we need to protect the Christ child and Mary and Joseph. And they said, all right, look, here's what we're going to do. We are going to listen to God rather than man. It says, having been warned, verse 12, by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. So we find Joseph said, yes, I'll take Mary to be my wife. Mary said, yes, I will do whatever is required of me. The shepherd says, yes, we will go see the Savior. The wise men said, yes, we will be obedient to God rather than to man and to ourselves and our conveniences. And I believe that the word yes is what Christmas is really all about. Jesus did not come so that you and I would go on with life as normal. He came so that like Joseph and Mary and the shepherds and the wise men, we too might say yes. Yes to what? Yes to his forgiveness. Yes to the question, do you believe that Jesus is the one and only payment for sin? Do you say yes to the free gift of salvation? Do you say yes to I will submit to him and allow him to lead me in his ways and lead me in his desire for my life? You know, well, tomorrow, some of us are going to get some pretty great gifts. Some of you are going to get other gifts. But let's not lose sight that the greatest gift is Jesus. The greatest gift is Jesus. And my question is to you, as we walk through life, will we say yes to following his lead? Will we say yes to his free gift of salvation? Ephesians 2:8-9 mentions the gift of salvation. It says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. And I don't know about you, but I am so thankful that Jesus came and he did all the work. He did the hard part. He lived he left the throne room of heaven and he lived in this, well, he started in a stable. And 40 days prior to leaving earth, he was murdered. Because he said yes. He said that I recognize that mankind has a sin problem, that God demands that payment be made for sin. And God says in the Bible that the payment for sin is death. And Jesus said, well, then I will pay the price for sin. I will pay the price for sin. And he paid the penalty that we could not. Why? Because he loves us. And all we have to do is say yes. I believe that Jesus was born to die. I believe that he came here because he saw a sin problem in this world that we could not fix ourselves. And that he allowed himself to be hung on a cross as a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice to satisfy the wrath of God. And in turn, when God looks at those of us who have placed our trust in Jesus, you know what Scripture says? It says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because God the Father sees one of his children. He doesn't see an enemy, he sees a child. And it starts with a yes. Yes, I believe. But those yeses continue every day. Every day we're given choices. Will we follow and live the way Christ desires us to live? So as I close, I would challenge you to rethink the story of Christmas and be a person that says yes to the call of the Lord on your life. Right? Maybe you've never said yes to his free gift of salvation. That's a really good place to start. But maybe you have, and you've been saying no to a whole lot of other things he's called you to do. Christmas 2018 can be a fresh start. And I would challenge you to do that. And that would probably be the best way that you and I can say thank you to Jesus for his gift of salvation. Let's have a word of prayer, and then when we're done praying, I'm going to ask that we spread out around the outside of the sanctuary, and then we are going to we'll light our candles, and we've got a couple final songs that we will sing together. So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your gift of salvation. We thank you and praise you for people like Joseph and Mary and the shepherds and the angels and the wise men and so many others throughout the pages of Scripture that when called to do your task, they said yes. And Lord, I thank you for those in this room who have said, yes, I desire to follow Jesus. Yes, I desire his free gift of salvation and forgiveness. And Lord, I pray for those who maybe they haven't come to that point. Maybe they're here because they're curious. Maybe they're just here because it's Christmas. And that's what you do at Christmas. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to their hearts, that you'd encourage them and let them know, no matter where they're at, that they can experience your free gift of salvation. Lord, that you will forgive them for anything they have done. Lord, that you are offering them a fresh start and that you love them and want to love them as your child. Again, we thank you and we praise you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.